First, The Adventure of a Lifetime, the story of a journalist's trek deep into the Amazon in search of one of the last uncontacted tribes, the legendary People of the Arrow. On assignment for National Geographic magazine, Scott Wallace joined an expedition led by the Brazilian explorer Sidney Pozuelo, a man who's made it his life's mission to protect the Amazon's indigenous people. Wallace tells the story in his book, The Unconquered.
National Geographic called me and asked me if I were available and willing to take off basically on a moment's notice to go profile Sidney Pozuelo. But to do so, I had to join an expedition that was just about to depart on an open-ended journey into the land of a group known as the People of the Arrow, the Flecheiros, a tribe hiding in the headwaters of an enormous reserve known as the Javari Valley Indigenous Land, an area about half the size of Florida with not a single road, surrounded by a much greater unbroken forest in the western Amazon. It was the kind of assignment you just can't say no to.
What is it about Pozuelo? He really did change everything about not just Brazil's attitude, but the world's attitude toward uncontacted people and undeveloped resources, right?
Yeah. Pozuelo comes out of a tradition in Brazil of wilderness scouts. They're called sertanistas, who would be sent out into the jungle, into the deep bush, to woo so-called wild Indians and to pacify them and make peace with them and move them out of the way, essentially, of the advancing frontier. But midway through his career, Pozuelo saw that inevitably, regardless of the best intentions that he had and his colleagues had, the Indians whom they contacted would inevitably succumb to epidemic diseases because these groups are still defenseless against measles, influenza, the common cold, and the contact would inevitably trigger massive die-offs, in some cases up to 90% mortality of a tribe. And eventually, the lands of these tribes, in many instances, in most cases, would be overrun by the loggers, the prospectors, the settlers. And so Pozuelo saw this and decided, you know, this is not working out for the Indians. We should change this policy.
So you decided to go with him, but it leads to a sort of basic contradiction, doesn't it? You were going with him to search for a people who, if you found them, you would not contact.
Yeah, it's a pretty paradoxical quest. But the Department of Isolated Indians, curiously named, that Pozuelo was the head of and the founder of, is charged with protecting these last groups of uncontacted tribes. And in order to protect them, they must prove, document their presence on the land in order to then go back to Brasilia and push for legal recognition of those lands.
It's also quite dangerous, though, not just because of the terrain you're going to have to go over, but getting close to the Arrow people, the people of the Arrow, can be pretty dangerous too, right?
Absolutely. Nobody knows what they call themselves because there's never been peaceful contact. You know, they're known regionally by other groups in the forest as the Flecheiros. They're known to be dangerous, implacable, and people steer very wide of their territory because they're known to use their arrows to defend their territory from any intruders.
So you knew that was what you were going after, but you also knew what you were going to have to go through to get there. What is it like these days to go in under the canopy, as you said, into the Amazon jungle?
It was by far and away the most grueling journey. First of all, we were trekking through a headwaters region, up and down through very steep hollows and ravines and very dense vegetation also. We were going single file with the lead scouts breaking open the way with machetes, and the way was really grueling. I mean, there were days when we'd only advance 2 or 3 kilometers on the map.
Dan, tell me a little bit about this group. It wasn't just you and Pozuelo. In fact, there were representatives of several other tribes with you on this trip.
That's correct. The expedition consisted of 34 men, including 20 Indians from three different tribes who were fantastic backwoodsmen. They were our hunters, our fishers, our porters, trackers.
Of course, you had to keep your goal in mind through all of this, but it must have been hard because the stories you tell are pretty daunting. The story you tell of termites discovering them all over your shirt would make anybody want to go home.
Yeah, there were quite a few discomforts, that's for sure. Sweat, filth, bugs, snakes.
You were unable to keep your glasses on at one point because they'd fog up before you could step.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they'd fog up almost at every step. You know, there was a point where my feet went out from under me in slick mud, and I came down on a sapling that one of the scouts had whacked off to a very sharpened point with his machete. And I came down on that point, and within a fraction of an inch, really, of just being impaled.
There were some other advantages, I gather, to having the Indian representatives with you. There was something with the Matis elders.
Mm-hmm.
They put drops in your eyes that helped you see better.
So one day we're in the midst of the trek. We had taken a break around the middle of the day, and Pozuelo said, take a look at what the Matis are doing over here. It's really worth checking out. And they were in the midst of grinding up some kind of bark shavings and mixing it with water and folding it into like a banana leaf to create an eyedropper. And then each of the expeditionaries would prostrate themselves on their knees in front of one of the Tepi, one of the Matisse Indians with us, and receive these drops from this concoction in their eyes. And you could tell that it really burned from their reaction, their grimacing. And they were chanting too. And then they wanted me to receive these drops. And first I thought, you know, this is not something for me, but, you know, peer pressure. And I thought, hey, you only live, you know, through this once. So I too got on my knees and let him drop this concoction in my eyes. It felt like sulfuric acid had been dropped in there. It was this burning sensation. It was almost indescribably painful. And it took a few minutes before I could even open or begin to blink. But once I did, the forest stood out in really sharp relief. It was almost like a hyper realism to the forest. You could distinguish depth. The forest is mostly like a two-dimensional monochromatic green and brown, but after taking these drops, you could distinguish with much more clarity the dimensions of the forest, and it also took away fatigue. Turns out the Matisse used this concoction on a regular basis when they go hunting because it heightens their sense of sight, their hearing, and their ability to move through the forest.
So what happened when you finally did realize that you were getting close to the Arrow people, the flecheros? You knew how dangerous they were, and I suppose you both wanted to find them and didn't.
Yeah, that's right. As we went through the forest, our scouts, both Pozuelo and the Indians, they were so good at being able to judge how long ago what they called vestigios, the vestiges that people leave behind when they walk through the jungle, even things as simple as snapping off twigs. We would see these signs, but they would always be a year, a couple of months, or a few weeks ago that the people had been through there enough time to presuppose a certain margin of safety in terms of distance, until one day when we came upon fresh footprints pressed into the mud, and one of our trackers said, these are from right now. These footprints are from right now. And it was like, you know, adrenaline rush, you know, hearts pounding, and we could hear voices in the jungle in front of us. And then all of a sudden, even though our mission was to avoid contact, the group discipline broke down at that moment, and everyone rushed forward to try to get a glimpse of these people. So suddenly our ranks broke, and we're all like running through the forest. And a couple of our lead scouts caught a glimpse of two of these Indians as they dashed across a makeshift bridge. It was actually two trees that had fallen into the water from opposite banks of this river, and they dashed across this log bridge and disappeared into the jungle on the far side of the river.
And you had sense enough not to dash across that bridge to follow them.
Well, yeah. I mean, our mission was not hot pursuit. But what happened right there was, that was the moment that the Arrow people discovered that we were in their land. And what Pozuelo did at that point was order all of us down to the river. There was a sandy beach there, and ordered everyone to string themselves out along the beach with their rifles. Of course, I didn't have a rifle, but everyone else did. And he said, you know, let them see, because we knew they were watching us, even though we couldn't see them. He said, let them see how many we are, and let them see how well-armed we are. He wanted to preempt any thoughts that they might have of attacking us. And that was part of Pozuelo's calculus, to go into their territory with a contingent that was large enough and well-armed enough to dissuade them from attacking us.
Of course, now you knew, and you could go back, but you had to go back through the same territory again. So the same adventures, only in reverse.
Actually not. Once we had traversed their land, we were not going to go back the same way we came out. In the middle of the wilderness on this adjacent river, we stopped, and in the course of 2 weeks, our men, with axes and machetes only, no power tools, built two enormous dugout canoes in the middle of the wilderness, opened them with fire. I'd never seen this process before. It was an ancient art. And then even carved the paddles for the canoes and launched these canoes on the river. And that's how we got back to civilization, was by paddling for 2 weeks, 12 hours a day downriver to a point that was deep enough in the river for a boat to come and get us.
Wow. So was it successful? Did Pozuelo achieve what he wanted?
I think he did. It's hard to measure success sometimes with things of this sort, but the Arrow people remain well protected. By all accounts and recent aerial surveillance, it seems their communities are actually thriving. And so we found out a lot about the Arrow people from this expedition. And also what we gleaned from the expedition was leveraged politically into bolstering support for the reserve where they are.
Journalist Scott Wallace. His book is called The Unconquered, In Search of the Amazon's Last Uncontacted Tribes.